Casey Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life.
Hey everybody, it's Lacey motherfucking Scholes, and this is Talk of Love, episode 39. How is everybody? How are you guys doing? So I filmed these podcasts a few days in advance, but by the time you see this, we do have an election coming up literally tomorrow from the time of when you see this podcast. So Monday, Tuesday, that's it, which means you guys have a responsibility. You got to get out there and vote. Have you guys done that yet? I have my little I voted sticker. I voted. Yes, I did. So definitely, you guys, this is, you know, A, it's a responsibility to living in this awesome country that we live in where we get to have our input be heard. But also it's empowering, you know, I'm all about empowering yourself and empowering myself, empowering ourselves. And it's important to feel like you have some control in life that your decisions and your thoughts matter, that you matter, you know? So this is one way that you can do that for yourself and for your community and for this country. Go out there and vote. So make sure to do that. So as you guys know, I've mentioned this before, I am a big, big news junkie. And lately in the news, some really cool stuff has been happening in the Catholic Church. Yes, I actually said that, and I meant it too. It's not something that you hear very often, like something happened cool in the Catholic Church. And this may come to a big shock, big surprise to a lot of you, but I got to be honest, I am actually not a Catholic. I know, like, what? What? Lacey's not Catholic. No, I'm not Catholic. I'm just kidding. Of course, there's no surprise there, but I do pay attention to what goes on in religion. I do pay attention to what goes on in different cultures because all of that is important in that it shapes our society and how we treat each other. And that goes for religion as well. So one issue that I have with many religions is the lack of treating different people with equality and the oppressiveness that some religions can show. And I gotta say, the current Pope, Pope Francis, I really respect that guy. It makes me happy to see people like him because it shows me that it is possible for religious groups to progress, you know? And it can't be a thing. You can't act the same today as you did 500 years ago because we're not the same people. And we've grown as a society and we've learned how to treat each other. And you know, the church and religions have got to keep up, you know? And so if it means, you know, you said this one year and now you're kind of changing your tune a little bit, that's totally okay. And if you truly do believe in God, shouldn't that be God's plan to make it so that we all get along better and treat each other better and that we all have the same opportunities, you know? So that was always confusing to me when you believe in God, but and you have all the wonderful stories about Jesus, the beautiful stories from the Bible, what would Jesus do? And do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are beautiful stories. Like, I wish you guys, all of them, all these people who are saying this would act on that, you know, and those who do, that's amazing. And so it's confusing to me when people are religious and are oppressive in the name of the Lord. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But that said, Pope Francis, awesome, awesome guy. Very humble, very concerned about all types of people. It doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're rich, if you're white, if you're black. Speaking of being black, one thing that I just read in the BBC just a few days ago, Pope Francis names first African-American cardinal, Wilton Gregory. That's so cool. That's progress, you know? And is it perfect? Is it where we should be? No, of course not. But we got to get moving that direction, even if it's baby steps, even if it's one step at a time, we got to get there. We got to get there. So this is the first step towards that direction of treating everybody as equals. I think that's great. Super, super happy that Pope Francis has named his first African-American cardinal. Another thing that he did, he openly spoke about being supportive of same-sex civil unions and even said that the church does need to do more though. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I love this kind of rhetoric. I love the actions that he's taking. I want to see more of it. And I really hope that the rest of the Catholics and Catholic Church can get on board and be supportive and know that it doesn't go against God to give everybody an equal opportunity, a fair shot, and to treat everybody as you would treat your family members. You know, that's the world I want to live in. So props to Pope Francis. I'm being serious too. Anyway, enough of that. I am super stoked for my next guest. I love this guy. He is so much fun and such a great dude and so inspiring too. You guys know him as Heat, Jason Rozelle from I Love New York, I Love Money. What's up, Jason? Nice to see you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming out of the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been wanting to do it, and it happened, what, 2 months ago? You were like, you want to do this? And we lost touch, and here we are now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm so glad we finally got to do this. I remember you're one of the few people outside of Rock of Love that I actually met and hung out with a couple of times. It was a really long time ago. Do you remember that? Was that in Los Angeles?
Oh yeah. Lots of, God, so many parties, and we definitely hung out, what, at least two or three times.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was always like, this guy's cool, but it was always like lots of drinks and, you know, alcoholic beverages. Yeah, good deal. So I'm really excited to talk to you because you have a lot of experience on all these shows. So I know that you're going to have a lot of good tea to spill. So, let's get started. And I think, you know, I actually had a couple of your buddies from the shows on here. I've had 12 Pack on. I've had Mr. Boston on. I've had several of the guys on from I Love New York and from I Love Money. So it's kind of cool to get to compare notes from everybody's different unique perspectives, you know? So, sure. So one thing that I like to ask everybody is, how did you end up getting into reality television? How'd you end up getting onto I Love New York? Where were you living at the time? What was your life like? How'd you end up on the show?
Jeez. Wow. Okay. So I moved about a year prior from, I was in Florida and I graduated college, and literally I was doing Spanish soap operas in Florida, moved with my ex-fiance to LA. And, you know, at that point I had lost a lot of weight. I was obese most of my life. And I was like, hey, to my ex, I really want to get into this acting field, yada, yada. And things did not work out with me and her. And I kid you not, I had just landed a small role on Entourage on HBO. This is back in 2000.
Oh my God, really? Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I got to be on set with, you know, all those, you know, Ari and Turtle. And I was like, this is so happening.
Wow.
And long story short, it was just a small role. And things were not happening much after that. Then my lines, this, that. I was like, I need to do something more. So I was literally on Craigslist. You know, I was heartbroken, looking through jobs. And I went to an audition. And I remember that same day seeing on Craigslist that in that same street, they were auditioning, do you want to be on the next Bachelorette type show? And I was like, whatever. I ended up auditioning. And it was brutal in the sense of they were asking me a million questions, as you know, you were auditioned for this, and they would not tell me, who am I fighting for love for? They're like, you're in a mansion if you get on this. I'm like, okay, yeah, out of thousands of guys, yeah, I'm gonna make this show. But yet, if I do make it, you won't tell me, who is this girl? They're like, no, but if you watch Flavor of Love, Do you like black girls? The guy said. I was like, I'm open to any race.
And had you seen Flavor of Love at that point?
I had only watched like maybe one or two episodes. So I knew, I thought Crazy was attractive. She was like one of the cast members. Hoops, which ironic enough, I'm friends with and was on I Love Money with. And then I knew of New York, but I was like, New York's not for me type thing. So needless to say, fast forward, I get a call 3 weeks later. I'm living on my friend's couch, no joke, because me and my ex broke up. I was heartbroken, not landing acting gigs. And everybody's like, no, don't do this. You just got your SAG card. You're part of a guild. This is a big deal. You're going to ruin this quick acting career. And my mom was the one that was like, you know what, Jay, I have a weird, good feeling about this. Just do it. My mom and I are BFFs. I ended up doing it. But lo and behold, that I get into this mansion with tons of other guys. And boom, here walks Chamo. No joke. New York's assistant. And I'm like, did I sign up for this kind of show? Nothing against gays, because half of my clients are gays and a lot of my friends are gay.
Right.
But my heart was palpitating.
Oh my God, I can imagine. Yeah.
I walked off for 5 minutes. Chris Obrego, Mark Cronin, they're like, Jason, relax. This is not who you're fighting for. It's a girl. I swear to God. And then next thing you know, New York comes out. So that's how I ended up on the show.
You're like, oh, thank Christ. And was like, that's a weird reaction. Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. It's not that there's anything wrong with being gay, but if you're not gay and people in your life don't think that you are, then you end up on a show like that. Then it's like you have to explain to everybody what's going on. Yeah. So I can imagine that would create some issues.
I thought I was on Punk'd because I was a huge fan of Punk'd. And I was like looking for Ashton Kutcher. I was like, Ashton! Wrong.
What if Ashton Kutcher was The Bachelor? Maybe that would make it okay. I feel like this is my philosophy in life. For every straight guy, there is one guy on the planet. There's one for all straight guys that might make every straight guy reconsider at least being bi for like maybe just like 5 minutes, maybe just like a make out. Just I know. I said my friends right now are like shaking their heads. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's just a female fantasy. But anyway, but yeah, you know, I would imagine that it's funny because with Rock of Love, some of the girls were told it was going to be Brett. Other girls were not. I found out ahead of time, but I really kind of had to like drag it out of them. And what I wonder is, I know a lot of guys didn't know it was New York. And as we know, there's New York, the character, and then there's Tiffany, the person. And Tiffany is pretty awesome and very sweet. I've met her in passing a couple times and they are very different. So my wonder is, if guys would be too scared, if their fear was that guys would be too scared to go on her show, if they were thinking that the New York from Flavor of Love season one was the one that they were going to get. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
For me, this is my honest take. I love, and if you watched, you know, season one of the show, me and her hit it off right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And I even told her on the first episode, I love a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, you think you're the shit, don't you? I said, no, I know I'm the shit. And then boom, we had this immediate like high five moment. But then she's like, okay. And most of the guys were intimidated by her.
Yeah,
think about
sure.
it. She's fierce. She's strong. And she can easily intimidate me. I kind of get off of on a woman that's strong and fierce.
Confident and, too. Yeah, I think confidence scares people.
Yeah. And you know what? That's insecurity on other people. For me, it was more like, you know what? I initially didn't think like, okay, this is my type of girl, but man, she's awesome. You know, like she really is. I mean, we're friends till this day.
That's awesome. I love that. So once she came out and you're just like, okay, cool. You know, and you recognize from the show. How did you have like a game plan? Like, did you think, obviously, that you had an acting career. And so I know how that is because when I was on, I had my music career. So you kind of go through this thing of like, okay, well, could I fall for this person? Am I interested romantically in this person? Could that be a thing? Or are you coming from the perspective of like, this is a show. I have a career. I need to do this the right way from that perspective. Were you trying to balance the two? Like, what was your game plan going in?
I mean, I had a game plan, clearly, you know, assuming this show would have done well, but I had no clue. I was like, hey, you know, maybe this will get me some FaceTime, yada, yada. My mind and my life was so different than what it is now. So at that time, when I was younger, I was, 25 years old. When I did the show, all I cared about was being famous at that point, you know. But when I was in that mansion and I'm seeing all these things going on, the craziness, the people, that window of opportunity of like, oh, my time to shine, that went out the window. And I'll tell you why. Because your nerves are up the roof. Anxiety level up the roof. You have alcohol in every damn corner. I took advantage of that alcohol. And I got to numb myself right now because you got people legit fighting over her. Meanwhile, I'm kicked back like this with my legs crossed. And I'm like, popcorn time.
Right?
I was enjoying it, but I was like, oh, come on. I can't do nothing with my acting career with this. So I was kind of going along for the ride in the first two episodes, at least. Then as things geared off, I was like, okay, I see how this is working. Clearly, I'm heat. I'm playing a character right now. And it's time to get caliente, baby.
There you go. I love that. Well, I actually think that answers my next question, which was, how did you feel about your name? Were you happy with that? I would be terrified. I'm so grateful that the Rock of Love girls, we didn't have to have a show name. We got to keep our real names.
Yeah.
Because some of the show names are great and others of them are just god awful. And I'm like, that would suck to be stuck with that like awful name for like all of eternity. So were you happy with your name?
Yeah, you know, ironic enough, the day prior, you know, they have us sequestered in hotel rooms and they're like, hey, check it out. You're going to be given a nickname, but more than likely you're going to get to pick it. What do you want it to be? And I stood up for like till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning figuring out what my name would be.
Oh, right? Interesting.
I was calling friends. I was like, look up in the dictionary. Because back then, you know, our phones were different. I didn't have Google. I didn't have access to what I have to now. Nobody did. And I ended up giving myself the name Brazen with a Z. And I was like, why am I giving it myself the same? Obviously, most people know what that means. Just very strong, outgoing, XYZ. And I never even had the opportunity to say that name. I just talked about, because she kept on asking me about the keys in my necklace. And it was the keys that belonged to my grandfather. His, you know, long story short, the mom, Sister Patterson, gets up, gives me a hug. Everybody's scared of her. She's showing me love. New York is like butter lips right now. She's like, whoa, my mom likes you. You're hot. You're the hottest guy in here. Your name is Heat. And I was like, damn. I was like,
that's,
I'll take that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. So I didn't know that some of the cast members kind of had a say in what their names were going to be. So was it a situation where like you came up with some possible choices and then you gave it to the producers and then the producers kind of went from there?
Yep. That's it.
That's interesting. But then clearly that went out the window because New York chose your name for you.
Correct.
Okay. That's interesting. So you had some really, really strong characters on your show. And, you know, one thing I love about I Love New York and I love about Daisy of Love is the guys really were such fun and unique characters and intense characters, depending on who you're talking about. I feel like the guys almost could like have it carry the show on their own, you know? And yeah. So you had intense characters on your show. What were some of the more like intense moments where you're just like, holy shit, I can't believe this is happening? And how did you mentally stay in the game without it getting overwhelming for you?
I mean, God, so there was so much intensity on I Love New York in the sense of, you know, whether it was Boston yelling or being yelled at by Chance, or, you know, you have, God, what was the other character's name?
There's White Boy. He was pretty intense too.
Just all these people, mind you, I get it, but I don't. I'm like, damn, they're really going nuts over this girl, right? And I'm like, you know, at this point, I'm going to get booted. You know, she clearly is going to know I'm not yelling over her. I'm not doing this and that. I was more chilling, you know, and it clearly worked out to my benefit in that sense. But I legit was, I felt like I was watching a nutty TV show, like one of those like court drama shows where people are yelling. Like Jerry Springer, I'm like, what did I sign up for?
Yeah, 100%, absolutely. So, and you know, I think it's good to be the person that you were because you were like the fun character, and not everybody can be the screaming crazy person. It's like it would be insanity if like everybody was that, you know. So it's good to have the balance of those types of personalities, I believe.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So I have a couple of fan questions that I want to pepper in throughout this conversation. The fans had really great questions this time around. So one of them specifically, you kind of talked about this a little bit earlier about being tight with New York. So Robert Free says, why does New York only follow Flav and you on Instagram? What's the tea with that? And why are y'all still tight when she's not really tight with anybody else? I mean, yeah, after all these years, you're one of the few that she still talks to. So give us some insight into that.
I can't justify or explain, hey, why, you know, you're followed by millions and you only follow, I think she only follows like 100 and some odd people. Why me? You know, it's the same thing. I'm I'm friends with Snooki from the Jersey Shore. She follows me. It's one of those weird things.
That's awesome.
I think personally, just whether it's Snooki, other reality TV people, daytime TV people, or specifically New York, what you see with me is what you get. Clearly, the reality shows I was on, it's me times 10. So
right.
Clearly, if I'm buzzed 1 hour out of the 24 hours and you want to catch me going, woo, caliente, let's go, you're going to get that moment and be like, damn, is he that much of a crazy son of a gun? And you're going to assume that. But no, me in New York actually hosted. So for about 3 years, me and 12-Pack toured, we did over 37 states. It was insane.
That's so cool. By the way, that's like, it's almost like you guys went on tour without the rock band, but you were the rock band. And that's so rad that you were able to make that work and have fun with it and make some money and be successful and bring something cool to the fans. I totally love that you guys did that.
100%. We created an act, The Party Boys, and it was essentially, we didn't go as far as Chippendales, but we did, wear fun outfits on a stage. I mean, I remember being in Crowbar, Chicago, over 5,000 people in nightclub, and we're down to our Speedos with super soaker guns of tequila. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we were supporting people. We were like the main event. We had, kind of like cheerleaders. Mind you, this happened so many times. And when that fell off and I started doing appearances on my own, I'm sure you've done tons of mm-hmm. them. Me and 12-Pack kind of like, we just stopped talking, and we'll get into that later, for like 10 years. And me in New York were still chill. We were friends on MySpace, for God's sake.
Oh, you remember? Wow.
And next thing you know, I was like, hey, they want to hire me for this club. You want to do it with me? She's like, sure.
Oh, next, so you guys did gigs together. Oh, that's, we did, so get, cool. Oh, yeah. Well, that, yeah, really, that explains a lot, because I will just say from my personal experience, I became pretty tight with several of the girls just from going out and doing that, because it's doing these personal appearances were really fun, because they basically just pay you to fly out and be like the hype man for their venue. And if you're there with some other people and you get to hang out with them, and you're on the plane with them, you're staying in the hotel with them, you really get to know them and become tight with them. So that makes sense that you and New York are so close. And if you guys got to do that together, it's always more fun to do it with another person anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a mutual respect for one another, because I've done, and we'll get into that later, so many more shows. And I've done so many projects in my career that we have this mutual respect for one another of a true hustler. Because she is the true epitome of a hustler, where she's done hundreds of shows since I Love New York.
Yeah,
right?
Impressive. And impressive as hell. I mean, her career speaks for itself for the hardworking woman, the go-getter that she is. It's really impressive. And same with you. And I think that you're right. I think that she probably respected you because you were in SAG, because you're used to doing all these auditions and shows. You're a professional. And that really makes a big difference, getting to interact with somebody who is a professional versus someone who is just an amateur and doesn't know how to deal with that lifestyle.
Yeah, and it was a professional respect, but also personal. It's kind of, again, we just got along, from day one. And I didn't take things personal when I got voted off. Absolutely not. But it was more like, dude, you know what? You're cool. I'm cool. Let's continue the friendship. And yeah, we still, like I said, she's supposed to be on my show at some point. Now that she's back in the media, as you know, she has a I Love New York reunited.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so cool. I'm so proud of her. I'm so happy for her. And, just like you, who knows? In a few weeks, you may get a call. And, I think it would be awesome if you had your own show on VH1. Because what you're doing, Lacey, and this is another respectful thing I'm telling you, you are kicking butt on this show, and this rocks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I'm really enjoying it. And you guys are half of it, though. So, I just am so grateful to everybody who I brought on, all these great people with great personalities. And it's really helped make it. But I thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. I think, it's amazing to me that all these shows have definitely stood the test of time, and they're still all so popular. And it's been, 10, 11, 12, 13 years since these shows, and everybody's still all about it, which is awesome. And then you've got, you know, people like you. I just interviewed Will, AKA Onyx, last week, and he's still working and doing like show business stuff. And then of course you just mentioned New York, who's kicking ass, and Chance has got his own show. I do feel like there's something there for all of us. It is just like, it's just right there ready to pop out, you know?
Right there, any minute.
Yeah. So, but thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. So you mentioned 12 pack a couple of times, and actually that brings me back to my fan questions. Nick asked a great one. And by the way, all these fan questions for all of you who are watching this, these are on YouTube. If you go to the Talk of Love YouTube channel and click on the community tab, that's where you can find who my next guests are going to be to ask some questions and engage that way. So anyway, so Nick, he says, this is a great question. Producers tried to paint your relationship with 12 Pack as if it were gay. What are your feelings about that? Yeah, I agree with Nick, and you know, it's weird because it's always a bad thing to label somebody as something that they're not. Like, you're this. No, I'm not that. But then it also is insinuating that there is something wrong with being that. Is there something wrong with being gay if you were, which you're not? So it's kind of shady. I don't like that they did that to you and to 12 Pack. And I know Sister Patterson was really coming down on 12 Pack hard about it. And it's just, you know, to be a good looking man. I will tell you, all of the good looking guy friends I've had in my whole life, especially being in music, they always get called the derogatory F word. And it is real. It's like, if you're good looking, you must be gay. And it's a shitty thing to do to anybody. But, how did you take that especially when you watched it back? What were you thinking?
I thought, first off, I give respect where respect is due. Number one, the production did a killer job. I mean, clearly the show had millions. I mean, it was the highest rated show in BH1 history back in 2007, before you girls, right? And I think you guys even went higher. They put Brokeback Mountain on a scene, the only scene that people thought, could they be gay? At 3 o'clock in the morning, me and him are drinking, okay? And he's wearing his Speedos. And I'm saying, look, not me, but everybody in this house knows you got the best body. And that was real talk. I can look at a guy being straight as a board and say, dude, you got some killer ass, brother. You got some killer, you know what I mean?
Girls do it all the time to each other. And girls are not held to the same standard. I mean, I there's been times where I've like hung out with my girlfriends. I'm like, your boobs look great. Let me feel them. and it's totally okay for girls to do that. But if a guy were to be like, hey man, like, let me squeeze your dick, you know, like suddenly you're gay. Maybe that's a bad example. But my point being that guys and girls are held to totally different standards. And I think it's crappy.
100%. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, I didn't take it personally. 12 Pack a little bit, but it was not even that. It was more, you know, because he was on, I think, a couple more episodes than me, and then he got booted off, you know, when they brought up that he worked at Feathers, yada, yada. So he took it, you know, a little personal. Not that me and him, what me and him had was nothing compared to God. And I've had so many fans throughout the years, like, say, you know, you guys were back in the day, like the real, like Guidos, like the Pauly D's and the Vinnies. I mean, they actually kiss in their actual, you know, their TV shows or whatever. We didn't even do anything close to that. So I laugh and I take it as a compliment. Why? Because look, it's two good looking guys. We're kicking back, having cocktails. I'm buzzed. He's buzzed. We're not doing nothing gay. But if I say, dude, your biceps are humongous, I'm going to tell you. Because if you're looking sharp and you got muscles, I'm going to tell you, that ain't gay. That's showing love, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it shows confidence in who you are, you know? I remember, I feel like things have gotten a lot better since when I was, like, a teenager in my early 20s. But it used to be, the joke amongst us girls was if we were hanging out with our guy friends and we'd be like, hey, you know, oh my God, that guy's really good looking. Like, don't you think that's a good looking guy? And then the guy that you're with, he's like, I don't know. I don't know. He's a dude. I don't know. How do I know if he's good looking? I'm a dude and he's a dude. I'm like, settle the fuck down. Like, you're telling me you cannot tell the difference between Brad Pitt and like you know, I don't want to out somebody for being ugly, but an ugly motherfucker. Like, come on, you know the difference. It doesn't make you gay, you know? So yeah, I mean, that just shows your confidence.
Yeah, and I think everybody has a dosage of haterade in them.
Yeah, you know,
there's the same thing with insecurity, right? And I feel sometimes people have to point out whatever they can get a hold of to bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned throughout the years that that's a reflection on them, not on me. And I can't take those things personally. That's your opinion. You're entitled to it. But I'm cool with myself. I love myself, you know? So at the end of the day, whether I'm at God knows TGI Fridays or at a club and I want to compliment a female or a man, how many times I get stopped by guys all the time. What kind of watch you wearing, man? What kind of cologne is that? I'm not going to assume that he's gay. He appreciates what I got going on, and I take it as a compliment. So it's a compliment. Thank you.
I love hearing you talk like that. I think that's really, really healthy. You know, we got to get away with like the toxic way of behaving when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because here's the problem with that way of thinking and what it could lead to. If a guy, an insecure guy, is accusing another dude of being gay because he's good looking or because he's nice to his friends or whatever, then what potentially could happen is it puts that guy who's being accused of being gay on the defensive, where he starts to go like, no, I'm not gay, I'm not gay, makes him defensive. Then what happens if an actual gay guy who's just minding his own business comes along? Then all of a sudden, the guy who's being accused might start being like, get the fuck away from me, you know, gay guy or whatever. And it just breeds the desire to be, to prove so much that like, I'm not gay.
Yeah,
and then you start being hateful towards a community.
And it's not just males. I mean, females, you know, I mean, mind you, I'm European, you know, I'm from Spain. So I lived in Spain for 8.5, almost 9 years. You know, I was brought up on wearing certain types. I mean, for God's sakes, if my haircut is not done every 2 weeks, if I pluck the middle of my eyebrows, I like to look sharp, right? I like to smell good. And I expect my partner to look good and smell good. If you don't take care of yourself, that's your issue. But don't point at me because I'm taking care of myself.
Yes.
That's me. You know?
100%. I love it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we ladies love that. We don't want a hairy, smelly guy. Like, newsflash.
No.
So let's get into I Love Money. We got some great questions here too. So my man, Joey Sapinski, who is a contributor to the podcast, by the way, love you, Joey. Wants to know, did you like being on season 1 or season 2 better of I Love Money? And actually, I want to throw in there, you're one of the only people, are you the only person that did more than one season of I Love Money? And if so, how did that happen?
Was I the only person? Actually, it was me and the entertainer that did season 1.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Which was so awesome. But to answer your question, 110% prefer, I loved being on season 2 over season 1. I just had way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that it kind of looked like that from the audience perspective. So how did you end up getting on both shows?
How did I get on both shows? I was living in LA and I had moved back to New York. I've lived all over, by the way. But anyways, I moved to New York and I get a call. They're like, hey, yada, yada, we're filming. Can't tell you the name of the show. Boom, 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 boom. Do you want to do it? Yes or no? And literally, I packed my bags 3 weeks later. I'm off to Mexico. And a huge benefit is because my first language is Español de España. Yo estaba hablando de Español con Americans. So everyone's like, ándale, pijuelo, what you want to drink a tequila? I'm like, mira, yo soy de España. They're like, oh, you sound British in Spanish. I'm like, because it is Spanish. And they're like, is that why you're a gringo? I was like, man, just give me the damn tequila. Anyways, I was getting everybody shots because I was the only one that really spoke Spanish, you know, and it was a killer time. Great time.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. All I know from 9th and 10th grade Spanish is, hola, ¿cómo está? And after that, they're like, oh, she speaks a little Spanish. And then they go off on a whole thing. And I'm just like, sí. And they're like, sí? I'm like, I mean, no. That's awesome. So once you were finished with I Love Money season 1, the producers just came back and like, hey, you want to do another one? Is that how it went down?
Yeah, they're like, it feels like you, I can't remember how they said, I think it was Chris on the phone. It feels like your wings were cut short, blase, blah. I'm like, yeah, you know, here's the thing. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say so many things went down behind the scenes.
Yeah, you can say it. That's all we've been doing on this podcast.
Yeah, I got a call from one of the casting directors. I'm not going to say who. And he was so bummed out, especially I Love New York, because he's like, dude, we knew and we felt you were going all the way to the end. Because on my casting tape, I was so extroverted, pretty much how I am now, but I took it another step further, right? And, a lot of my East Coast attitude, like, hey, how you doing over here? You know, they wanted that. They wanted, and you know, do I have that in me? Of course I do. It's just, that only comes out when I'm either tipsy or when I'm really pissed off. So I'm not going to be like, hey, how you doing over here? I'm going to break your freaking fucking leg. You know, and, hey, we'll leave that to Entourage. Give me a big paycheck. Right. I Love New York was not paying me enough.
Right.
So fast forward. They were like, dude, you're an awesome character and we want you to keep on bringing the heat. And yeah, season one, I got booted off a few episodes into it. And then boom, it was shortly a few months later, they bring me to do season two. And when I saw that the entertainer was there, I was like, oh my God, this is too funny, because he booted me in season one.
Yep.
And they wanted that. They wanted that rivalry and they didn't know how it was going to go down, when, how, what. I didn't know either, but we got along. We got along season one and two. So I really don't have any regrets, to be honest with you. I mean, at the time, yeah, but I saw how they played me out, and I get it, because production has a funny way on how they want to create or finish their storyline.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'm not acting a certain way or giving them what they want, they're either going to change or they're going to cut me off. And that's exactly what happened. I'll tell you a quick tidbit. Mm-hmm. When I got eliminated season one of I Love Money, we were at an outing, me, entertainer, who else was, I can't remember who. And we were on the beach with this particular waiter, this guy from Germany. And I always get along with Europeans. I get along with everybody. And me and him were just chatting away. He kept on giving me booze. I was like, boop, boop, boop. And I remember season two, I think it's like episode 6 or 7, I get kicked off. I swear to God, I'm at the same effing restaurant. And it was deja vu. I said, that's it. I'm going home. I knew it. I knew it.
Wow. And with the same person too, entertainer. How pissed were you? Like, this motherfucker twice, two shows in a row. Were you just like livid?
Livid. And I actually, in the episode, because me and him were actually vibing really good, and he chose Buck Wild over me. And it, you know, he was having his fun, whatever. I ain't hating on that. But literally, like, tears are coming down. I was more in shock, and I started crying like a baby, and I couldn't hold it, because I was like, it was like a bittersweet, because I got along with everybody.
Yeah.
I really did. So Safari, 20 pack, God knows, Ice, everybody, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are, you just named like really awesome people. So yeah, you were on a great, great cast, great show with a great cast on season two for sure. Yeah. So have you talked to entertainer after all of that happened? Like, did you guys ever talk after that?
No. Last time I think I saw him was when we did the reunion, you know, and that was a fun, I Love Money season two was an awesome reunion. And, you know, after that, you know, I had a few production meetings I was like, okay, where's the Life of Heat going? They're like, well, we plan on bringing you back. You know, there's a lot more in store, and, you know, just keep it going. There might be a, and I was like, oh, what? Because at the time, it was For the Love of Ray J, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, oh, you're like, what? They're like, well, I don't know. What does For the Love of Caliente sound like? I was like, oh, hell no. Hell no. You know, I'm like, are you serious? They're like, I can't say nothing. How does that sound though? And I was like, it sounds good. They're like, just be on standby. Whenever you get a call, you get a call. That's all I knew. That was the last I seen of entertainer, last talking to the peeps. And of course, Megan Wants a Millionaire happened. Boom. That was it.
Yeah. It's such a shame that that whole franchise broke apart, I should say.
Yeah.
Because from doing this podcast, I've come to understand that a lot of people were told that they were going to get their own show. And I don't think it was empty promises to all these people. I think that they genuinely planned on this franchise lasting for years and years and years and years.
Oh, yeah.
So many great characters, you know, so if everybody that came on my podcast that said that they were offered a show actually had a show, I know all of them would be watched by everybody. All of them would have done well because people love these casts of all these shows. You know, they were going to do, I had two meetings with Chris Abrego and Mark Cronin about doing I Love Lacey, which would be sort of like a spin of I Love Lucy, you know. And I've had multiple people on here talk about it as well. And I know for a fact they all would have done amazing and been so entertaining to watch. So it's a bummer. It's a bummer that things happened the way that they did. But
I will tell you, it was a bummer, but to me it saved my life, and I'll tell you why. My life was pretty much, I was all over the place. I was partying too much. I was going out too much. I did not have balance, you know? And you know, we'll get into it before we wrap on how now I'm a transformational life, wellness, and relationship coach, because a lot of people that watch these shows saw how I've changed, right? It's not that I was on drugs or anything back then, but my life was so all over the place. And I promise you, if I would have kept this thing going, I don't know if I would have been alive. And I'm not even joking you.
You don't think you'd find the balance?
What's that?
You don't think you'd find the balance?
I was drinking a good 3 or 4 times a week, Lacey. Okay? I was partying. I became heat. For God's sakes, even though I got it removed, I had a heat tattoo on my shoulder.
Oh,
right?
Really? Oh, that's cool. You got removed?
12-pack has his 12-pack here still, not me. I got mine completely redone.
Hey, at least you don't have a Bret Michaels tattoo. So there's that.
That is very true. And no, you know what it was? My life, and I'm sure you went through this hardcore, most people that were hanging out with me, I was hosting parties at the Playboy Mansion, for God's sakes. Nobody knew who Jason was. They were like, Pete Caliente. And it was awesome at the time. But looking back at it, dating girls that didn't even know who my real name was, or them leaving my house at the time, and like you hear them on speakerphone, oh my God, you're not going to believe who I just hung out with. They didn't give two craps about me. They cared about heat and what I can do for them. So that's when I was like, damn, you know what? It sucked. I could have my own show. I could have this. But you know what? There's a plan for everybody. The universe always has our back. And boy, he's had my back, because my life has been so much better than before, and doing so much better shows than before. And I'm blessed and I'm alive. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I cannot argue with the fact, and I'm super proud of you, of how awesome your life has been this whole entire time and everything that you're doing now. And I will get back to I Love Money, but I just want to throw this in here really quick, just to play devil's advocate, because it's what I do.
Of course.
Don't you think my perspective on life is that life is a series of experiences. And as many experiences that you can fill your life up, not stuff, not things you buy, experiences. And as many different experiences you can pack into your life, to me, that's a full life, with good people, of course. Before I did the shows, I can sort of relate to what you were talking about. When I was touring with my band, we were touring a lot, and it was kind of the same thing for me. You know, we'd have a 6-week long tour where we're playing literally every single night in a different city. And I would play the show sober, show would be over, and I would just get annihilated. And then wake up the next day, take, you know, aspirin for the hangover, and then start all over again. And so I was just drinking my ass off, still getting shit done though. When the tours were over, I would chill on the drinking and take a break. But the next tour, I'd be at it again. And one thing I talk about on the show, because I'm anti-slut shaming, when I was single, I did not fuck around. Or actually, I did. I was very promiscuous, and I had a great, great time. And for me, I think that was a really important experience to have, because I needed to have that extreme, like, okay, I did it all. I did the partying, I did the drinking, I did the hooking up with different guys. Yep. And now I'm like, I got it out of my system. It was fun. Nothing bad came of it. As long as you're, you know, obviously keeping yourself safe.
Yeah.
Then now I'm like chill and pretty normal and got an amazing husband who I love. And, you know, so do you think, I mean, did that really harm you living that lifestyle?
No. What I'm saying is I'm grateful that I went through it all, right? In every sense, not just filming the shows, the parties, the living this. I mean, for God's sakes, not how many people do you know? Like, I was on Sunset Boulevard on a billboard for season 2 of I Love Money. Like, that's surreal to me still, right?
Yes.
And what I was trying to say is, if I would have kept on going at that path, I don't know where my life would be. I just know it was not healthy, mm-hmm. right? But because of all those things that I went through, amazing things most of the time, but a lot of things were like, do they know me or not? I got to really know myself, right?
There you go.
And now, like, I can actually relate to you when you can look back and say, holy crap, I've been on the private jets. I've hung out with all these people I never thought or dreamed I would have, right? They know who I am. And now, whoever, like, for example, my girlfriend, she doesn't have to worry if I'm going to date that celebrity or this model. I've been there. I've done that. I'm secure with myself. And it makes them feel secure too, because like you said, you were promiscuous. Hello, I was promiscuous, right? You go through all these things and you're like, damn, would I do it again? To be continued. I'm just kidding.
Hell yeah. I'm going to answer for you. You would do it again. You should do it again. As I said, that's part of experiencing life. Sure. I feel like it's good to do all, short of putting yourself in harm or anybody else. It's good to have all these wild experiences and as long as you can keep it relatively controlled, you know, so.
Absolutely. And exactly. You can still have balance. I mean, for God's sakes, I still drink alcohol. Do I get drunk like I used to? No, same thing. I used to be obese for most of my life. Does that mean I'm going to eat the entire pizza? No, I'm going to have 2 or 3 slices. I'm going to have fun.
That's
right?
Balance.
Life is about, yeah. I've worked at different hospitals as a coach, and I've asked all these people that were older, hey, do you have any regrets in life? And literally 50% said, yes, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I should have done it. Skydiving.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then you have the other ones that are like 89, 95 years old. Literally, like, I'm gonna go outside and have a cigarette. Let me tell you the stories. I'm like, this is awesome. No regrets. So I'm with you. I don't have no regrets. I love what I did. And if I were to do these type of things again, and I've done more reality shows since then, more controlled, more chill, because I do want to have a family and kids one day. So that's me.
Love it. I love it. I think that's a great answer. I wanted to ask you. Okay, so Derek S. wants, and actually a lot of people ask this, wants to know about your relationship with Destiny, and then Candidly Roll at TM, I'm probably saying that wrong, wants to know about your relationship with Laylene, aka Smiley. So yeah, what's the situation with that? Or what was the situation with that?
I mean, both were very similar in the sense of how it all went down. I mean, right before cameras turn on, it was like, you know, Lock and I, you know, we already were feeling each other, me and Destiny, right before filming. And we pretty much it's like we couldn't keep our hands off each other. But we're like, and I remember saying, no, let's say you're for the camera. We didn't like do anything crazy. You know, we just flirted and whatever. But once the camera was on and we knew, hey, let's just have fun. It was super organic. She was super down to earth.
She's
super
great.
Down to earth. Talking about astrology signs. I'm a Pisces. You're a Libra. I said, ooh, let's do it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I love it. She's rad. I love Destiny.
She's an awesome rad girl. But no, nothing developed besides, you know, a showman, so to speak. And then it was interesting. Entertainer was very much into her. And you know what's so funny? When my mentality is to win $250,000, you can keep the girl, right?
Yeah.
And that quickly faded. That's pretty much it. And I think a lot of the reasons why I got booted off season 1 of I Love Money was because you know, there were still probably some, you know, leftover feelings between me and Destiny. Entertainer probably, you know, he said he wanted to boot me off. Who knows? I don't know. I don't care, but that's what happened. Season two, Layleen. Layleen's a character, man. She is a character. And you want to talk about googly goggy eyes? Like, she was giving me those eyes like, come, Heat, come, come.
Come to like, me. She's beautiful, too.
Yes, you know, and mind you, you know, she's got a nice body. I said, girl, you don't got to show me this and that, you know, to get my attention. You know, just talk to me. And again, I'm very easy to talk to, and I wasn't about hooking up. We were just talking. We started connecting. And then episode four, I think, in it, I hear she has a thing for Buddha as well. And I said, oh, in the hell? Buddha, I mean, you want to talk about like a 6'6" versus a 5'6" guy? It's like literally one extreme to the next. I was like, you know what? You got issues. You need to make up your mind. Oh, I let her have it. I was like, you can't be playing with my emotions like this. I lost it because I was.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was what we call in Spain, fiel. That means I was so faithful to her in the sense of like I was protecting her. I saved her from not getting booted off. And then she wants to, you know, play two sides of the field. I was like, So yeah. That ended. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, and if it was, and, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and mind you, we actually went on tour a couple times after the show, and we're super cool. I get along with everybody, but for the show itself, the showmances, they just started and ended really quickly.
Yeah, well, they're fun for in that environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I want to ask you, a lot of people want to know, I want to know, I know you're really loyal to your family, which is an admirable trait. How's your Yaya?
Oh, man, you know, Yaya, she's up in heaven now, unfortunately. Asking though,
sorry thank to you hear for that.
Yeah, no, but you know, I'm blessed. I got to be with her in her last days. You know, she raised me for most of my life. You know, Yaya in Spain, Puerto Rico, and even the Greek culture that stands for grandma. And a lot of times when I did the show, a lot of people didn't know what that meant. And you know, we were like this. You know, and unfortunately, I lost her. And you know, if you've ever lost someone or anyone that's watching or listening
it's
right
rough.
Now. I experienced what major real anxiety is like, not being able to do anything. Mm-hmm. And, but thank you for asking. Yeah. She's watching over me. And she said in her last days, Jason, you are the king of the jungle. Go get them.
Aww. I said, okay. That's so sweet. I love that. And I'm so sorry for your loss. I know how important she was to you. And yeah, that is always the worst to have to deal with losing a loved one. Yeah. So I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see what I've got. One more I Love Money question. I want to get into all the awesome stuff you're doing now. So where did this question go? Oh, yes. Amiri wants to know on the cheeks challenge when I guess you guys had to kiss each other's cheeks and you had a pretty heated, no pun intended, argument with Chance, who didn't want to participate in the challenge, which was made things interesting.
What happened? Wait, what kind of? I really don't remember that episode. Say it again. What cheeks?
It was like the cheek. You guys had to kiss each other's cheeks. And then you got into it with Chance. You and him had like a big argument. I think you threw a towel at him or something like that. Am I remembering correctly?
Oh, you know, okay. Now I'm thinking I remember. It was a challenge that never even happened. And I think what happened was, whatchamacallit? Yes, it was him and somebody else. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. So my reaction in that moment, I was heated. I was like, that's it. So I threw the towel, not even knowing where the towel was going. Literally, wherever. What did you say? It hit Chance in the head or something?
Yeah, I don't know if it was in the head, but it was just like something that ended up with like you and Chance getting into this kind of heated.
Yeah, and no, there was no argument. It was him laying it on me like, I'm gonna kick your ass. This is, and he was going off, and literally
it
like 10
intense.
Minutes. Later, oh yeah, he was pissed. 10 minutes later, mind you, me and him were friends from I Love New York, and he's like, sorry about that, bro. You know, Johnson, you know, he was super cool. And that was that. But yeah, it was a moment. Funny, I I guess because the challenge never happened, I totally forgot about that one. But yeah, no, all was good. And, you know, chance is chance. And when, you know, he lights up, he lights up. And, you know, you just got to, I've learned, you just got to let people vent. And that's it. Because I'm not going to go home over a towel.
Right. Yeah, let him get it out of his system. And the fact that he was like, hey, sorry about that. That's cool. I respect that.
Cool.
Yeah. So tell me what happened with you and 12-Pack. Because I know you guys are super tight. And my understanding is that you're still super tight. But there was a period you guys didn't talk?
Yeah. For about, Jesus, it was 10 years. We just completely lost touch. He went to do Daisy of Love. I went on I started my own fitness company. We'll get into that. And yeah, like we didn't talk for 10 years. And it was exactly about a year ago, I get a message on Facebook. I actually did a podcast episode on this and on YouTube. And he was like, Caliente, I'm in Long Beach. Let's meet up.
Oh,
no
cool.
joke. Pulled out cameras just for fun, had a drink. And we did this interview. And ever since that day, me and him, it's like not one day has passed. Now he's married. He's about to have his third kid. Family man. We have nothing but love for one another. So it feels good. You know, I'm very proud of him. You brought up Chance has his own show. Who are the other people that are doing really good? New York. You. New York. I mean, oh, come on. What is not there to love? You know what I'm saying? There's too much hate going on in this damn world.
Right.
Be happy. People, you know, so anyways,
I agree.
Very happy we got our friendship back, so it feels good.
That's great. I love that. I love hearing that. So what's going on with you now? I know you're doing like all kinds of really cool stuff, motivational stuff, super, super fit. And you told me over the phone when we talked earlier, and you telling me today that you used to have a weight issue going on, or from your perspective, a weight issue going on. And now you're just like super, you know, fit and just doing awesome stuff. So walk us through that. How did all that happen? And what are you doing right now in life?
Oh, geez. I'll make it as short and fun as possible. After the I Love Monies, things were not happening. And I was like, what the heck? You know, I had spent all this money. Things are going good. I'm like, what do I do next? So I decided, you know, I went back into the acting world. I ended up doing about 4 or 5 episodes. I got casted as a supporting role on All My Children.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was super cool. Mind you, and I tell you this because a lot of people question me through interviews in the past. Oh, was it because you were VH1 famous? I said, no, I actually went to acting school and I did XYZ. So during this process, I was meeting a lot of different celebrities. And I put one and one together. Most people never knew, and most people that saw me in I Love New York and all these shows, when I was 21, I hit my rock bottom. I was 225 pounds of pure fat, size 40 waist, stretch marks up to my stomach.
Oh, wow.
If just to give an example, if I was over 6 foot, that would be 350 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So people a lot of times are like, 225 pounds? I'm like, dude, trust me, I weigh 155 right now. It's a big difference, all right? You mix that with depression, anxiety. I was just an unhappy kid growing up. We'll leave it at that. And I went through a lot of stuff. Sure, did I change physically? But I didn't change up here, right? I wasn't happy. Fast forward, after doing these acting gigs, I would show people my before photos. And a few celebrities, XYZ, that I would meet, they're like, dude, great acting chops, but you need to do something with this transformation, help other people. Long story short, I decided to get in even better shape. I started a company called Caliente Fitness, and that took a life of its own. I was literally since then been on more daytime shows than I can ever imagine, from Steve Harvey. I've been on his show twice. I ended up landing a big reality show called Sweat Inc. with Jillian Michaels.
I love her, by the way. She's awesome.
Thank you. And
that's so
cool. It was like Top Chef type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for like, who's the next fitness phenomenon? And me and my fitness company, we won the group fitness division. I won 10,000 on the spot, went to the finals, didn't win, but that took my career to a whole nother level as well, because I was recreating, quote unquote, let's use a term loosely, fame from ground up, right? I did it with the fitness company by training celebrities. Fast forward to this Jillian Michaels show. And then last year, I released my second recipe book that's also on Amazon.
Oh, and what's it called? Yeah,
it's called Yummy Healthy Recipes and Yummy Healthy Dinners. And it's the most simple, fun, like chill recipes for people that don't like to cook, are short on time.
Me.
Yeah. And long story short, I got a call exactly not even a year ago from Adam Carolla. Their PR contacted my PR. I did the Adam Carolla show. I did a Hallmark Channel, Home and Family. And I've been doing this, all these shows until the damn COVID came. And I got booked on E! Entertainment, Daily Buzz. Right when I was about to fly 2 days prior, they canceled because of what's happened. Mm. And I've been put on hold. But it's been a whirlwind of amazing things. And I've also been able or fortunate to travel prior to this to different colleges and speak to kids and grown adults as well. I have a program called Mind Right, Body Tight. And it's a transformational 12-week program to get your mind, your emotions, your relationships with yourself, your food, and others in peak state. And I have been killing it with that. And a lot of people that watch these shows like Rock of Love, you know, I Love New Yorks and all that, they have gone to my programs, lost tons of weight. They're in happy, healthy relationships. And being a mindset wellness coach, to me, I feel like I found my purpose. I wake up and I go to bed saying, dude, I changed someone's life. So I'm happy. I can't complain.
Dude, I love every single word that you just spoke. I am super proud of you. You are slaying. And I am always all about people who are able to do something with their lives that they genuinely enjoy, that benefits them, that also benefits others and makes others' life better. So I am so, so proud of you. That's incredible, incredible stuff, great accomplishments. And I love how well-rounded that you are as well, that you have been able to succeed in many different areas of entertainment or fitness or inspiring people. I mean, it's just great stuff. I'm so proud of you and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. And lastly, what I want to say, which I'm including you as well, I've had a podcast and YouTube show similar to yours, only it's different topics, called Get Inspired. I've had TaylorMade, I've had 12-Pack on the show, and I have a few other VH1 guests. I want to ask directly right now, will you do me the pleasure on being on the show Get Inspired so your audience can check it out? Because you, my friend, are a true inspiration, and I'm so thankful for you having me on your show.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. And absolutely, anything that you're involved in, 100% count me in.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, like life is good and, you know, it's what we make out of it. And like you said, no regrets, but you live and you learn and life is good and you got to live in this moment because tomorrow's not promised, baby.
Yeah. And you can't be worrying about what already happened. Like that's done. You got to move on.
No. Living in the past is living in depression. Living in the future is living in anxiety. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, you're so right about that. 100%. Well, so where can people find your podcast? You talked about your books. Where can they find you online? Like lay it all. So people are watching this and they're like, I want everything of what he's doing. I want to be a part of all of it. Where can people go? And by the way, I'm just for the people listening, watching, I will be putting all of this in the description below as well. But go ahead and tell everybody.
Super easy. Just go to, it's my full name, jasonrozell.com. That'll take you to the podcast. All the shows that I talked about that I was on. And the most importantly, you know, you get, if you subscribe to my newsletter, you get a free fat loss ebook. You learn my story. You get to see upcoming guests such as Lacey and other awesome people that I've interviewed and are coming on the show. You get to get my books. But most importantly, go on Instagram. And I'm telling you, Lacey, I engage with everybody. And I think that's been one of my keys to success. Because a lot of people ask me, well, oh, it's because you've been on this show. I'm like, no, it's none of that. I don't care who you are, right? Where you come from. I talk to anybody. Drop in, say hello.
Love
right?
that. And you have a lot of followers. It's not like, oh, well, he just has 5 followers. Like you have like 100,000 followers or something crazy. And you're right. I reached out to you a couple months ago. I was surprised that I even got through to you because you have so much traffic going on your Instagram. And you're right, that's super important. Being humble is everything, and staying connected with your fans, who none of us would have a career if it wasn't for them. So they're incredibly important as part of this whole entire world that we are all a part of. So yeah, you're really great with that.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Drop in. I do giveaways all the time. And who knows, you know, I want to get my audience to really tune into your show. The life of giving back. And I know this is like, oh God, how cheesy. You don't know who that fan is or what they're going to do in their life if you inspired them, Lacey, or if I inspired them. I've had people that I've met in person in tears saying, dude, this one episode you talked about depression, ever since that day, my depression is gone because of that episode. I was like, are you serious?
They're
like,
I think that.
That's the kind of stuff that really makes me want to live, like,
yes,
all the way, you know? So,
dude, you're fucking awesome. You rock so hard. And thank you again for coming on the podcast. And I wish you all the success in the world with everything that you continue doing. And you and I are going to stay in touch.
Absolutely. It's all about mind right, body tight. Thank you so much, Lacey. We'll do either a part two, or can't wait to have you on my show.
Hell yes, 100%. All right, I'll talk to you again very soon. And thank you again for coming on.
Thank you. Have an awesome day.
Bye, Jason.
Bye.
What a great guy. That was such a fun interview. I swear to God, every time I do one of these, bringing somebody on, having a conversation with them, I always think, like, this is my favorite interview. No, this is my favorite interview. Like, so many great conversations with so many great people. And that definitely was one of my favorites. He's a great, great guy. So inspiring. So I want to say thank you to all of you guys for continuing to watch this podcast. And I also want to tell you, I've talked about this before, I do reaction videos, and I do that as a reward for people who contribute. So those have been really fun. I just did all of Rock of Love season one reaction videos for that. And I also just finished Charm School of Sharon Osbourne. So if you're interested, maybe not in becoming a monthly contributor, but if you just want to watch these reaction videos, then go to my website, talkoflove.net/reaction videos, and you can select whether you want Rock of Love, whether you want Charm School, and I'll send you the whole entire season. And it's a lot of fun. So definitely go check that out. And if you are interested in becoming a contributor, then you get rewards there as well. Skype chats with me, video shout outs, all kinds of fun stuff. Just go to talkoflove.net/contribute. And I want to say thank you so much to all of my contributors. You guys are amazing. Thank you for the love and support. Thank you to all of you who watch, who click the thumbs up, who subscribe, who leave comments. I appreciate you guys so, so much. I couldn't do this without you. So I'm very, very appreciative of all of you guys. So definitely, if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel. Please give me a thumbs up. I would very much appreciate it. I'll see you guys next Monday. Take care of yourselves, and don't forget to vote. And don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.